Monopolies have evolved from fossil fuels and railroads to semiconductors and Silicon Valley. I'm Jason Middleton with Techonomics, and this week we talk with the co-authors of a new book titled Modern Monopolies, What It Takes to Dominate the 21st Century Economy. Modern Monopolies looks at how the platform economy enables companies that are one-to-one exchanges to mature into one-to-multitudes. Apple is a multi-platform monopoly of sorts, so what about its legacy compared to its future? Here's our chat with the co-authors of Modern Monopolies, Alex Moazed and Nicholas Johnson. We haven't used the word Apple yet in this conversation, and I'm wondering where Apple sits within the rubric of Modern Monopolies and your take on the marketplace. Can Apple be unseated, if you will, as the world's most valuable company if you look at market cap?
So I think Apple certainly has a very strong foothold. The interesting thing about Apple is they have something of a hybrid business where they have a traditional linear business in terms of selling phones to consumers, but they operate as a platform in terms of iOS connecting app developers with consumers. So Apple is sort of Apple makes most of its money from selling phones, but the moat and what proves it, what makes it so valuable, is the platform. So Apple, much like Amazon, has taken that initial linear business and built it into a much broader platform that is much more valuable. I think that in terms of whether Apple will be unseated, I think it in the next, say, decade or so, you're probably likely to see it be challenged by some platforms coming out of China and India as well, in terms of value at the top of the heap. I think in terms of the short term, it would be very tough for anyone to overtake them. I think Facebook's on a good trajectory in terms of what it's doing with Messenger, but no one has really yet figured out how to monetize mobile in the way that Apple is able to monetize selling phones. So even though Facebook makes a lot of money on mobile advertising, it still isn't quite in the realm of an Apple. And even though Google has started to make money on mobile advertising, it still makes the vast majority of its money, I believe, on desktop search. And Google hasn't really figured out yet what the new interaction model, what the new platform is going to be on mobile that's going to make it a lot of money. Android has helped provide it a defensible business around its core search business, but it hasn't really extended that in a way that is going to let it necessarily overtake Apple. I know that Apple and Google are sort of at the top right now, but they seem to be fairly entrenched there for the moment.
I would add on to that would be Apple's primary platform type would be a development platform. And when you look at a development platform versus all the different types of platforms that we've identified, that is the one which has the longest tenure and the longest runway once you hit that point of critical mass. The amount of switching costs and investment for the producer base of third-party app developers to move on to another platform or to switch is so much higher than any other platform type that it really does give them some nice moats and a long runway to remain at the top. Now, I mean, the other reason and the other kind of argument that we make in the book is that modern monopolies really aren't that bad. And that's because at the rate that technology changes and how fast human behavior is changing in the 21st century, it is inevitable that another wave of technology comes in over the next 10, 15, 20 years, which starts to disrupt the paradigm of the mobile phone.
This is why you see Facebook investing in VR, for example. People thought, you know, why would you spend $1 billion on a VR company that is essentially pre-product and isn't to market yet? It's because Facebook sees VR as the sort of next wave of technology that could give it the dominant platform, control of the dominant platform, in the way that Apple really has today, and then Google, I would say, in second place.
Yeah, I definitely cannot argue with that. I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, $1.1 billion for Oculus sounds like a deal as you move forward. I'm speaking with the co-authors of Modern Monopolies, What It Takes to Dominate the 21st Century Economy. Gentlemen, my last question for you is more of an existential one. I was looking at the book, and I was seeing a kind of a theme necessarily that came through: constant evolution. Of course, living here in Silicon Valley, it's iterate or die. So how do you apply constant evolution to your approach to modern monopolies?
I would say that constant evolution, as it relates to these modern monopolies, is the philosophy that old linear monopolies of the 20th century, 19th century, your Standard Oil, your telco companies, your RCAs, they control their supply chain. And that means that those monopolies remain for decades. And they stifle a lot of innovation. They keep out other competitors from coming in the market. When you have a platform business and your supply is a network, you don't own them, you don't control them, they're not on your balance sheet, it's a network of third-party producers, that means that your business, by definition, is more malleable and flexible than any other business model in the history of business models. And that means that in order to stay at the top, in order to be the dominant modern monopoly like Apple or Google or the ones we're talking about today, you really do need to embrace constant evolution, because at the rate that technology and people's human behaviors are changing, you need to reinvent yourself and figure out what is the next platform. What is the next, if you're Google, what is the next Android or YouTube that you need to go and buy or invest in order to remain at the top?
Right. And as Alex mentioned a little bit earlier, that's why you see a lot of these dominant platform companies, these modern monopolies, becoming sort of the conglomerates almost of the 21st century. You see a lot of these separate ecosystems. Facebook has its own ecosystem. Google has its own ecosystem of different interlocking platforms. Apple has its own as well. And even in China, you see Tencent, Alibaba, and Baidu as sort of the three separate warring ecosystems. Tencent has locked Alibaba out of WeChat in the past, and then Alibaba has introduced a WeChat competitor. You see them constantly warring back and forth for dominance, and you see this sort of winner-take-all platform competition happening between these sort of platform conglomerates at the top, and that's why they sort of continue to evolve and grow, but there is always that risk that someone else can come in and really take out your core business, because that threat of entry, it's a lot cheaper to create a new business today. And when you're talking about users, they're much less of a durable resource than, you know, laying pipe or laying wire for a sort of old school monopoly. So it's they're a lot more expandable, but they're also a lot more precarious at the same time. So that constant evolution and constant change is both a matter of survival. Yeah. And sort of a way of gaining an edge on their competitors.
Kind of the lifeblood of a lot of the models you have in your book. Alex, Nicholas, thank you so much for this. This is a bleeding edge book, Modern Monopolies, What It Takes to Dominate the 21st Century Economy. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you as well.
That was Alex Moazed and Nicholas Johnson, the co-authors of Modern Monopolies, What It Takes to Dominate the 21st Century Economy. For all of its value, revenue, growth, and size, Apple is just like any other tech company, iterate or die. It's only that Apple can probably withstand a lot more misses than other companies. I'm Jason Middleton for Techonomics.